Chapter 16.
I was wondering that, too.
Jessamine nodded and dusted her hands off on her pants.
I still hear its footsteps, so I don't think it's too late.
It's definitely not too late, I reiterated. But we're going to have to go now. And I think the first thing we're going to have to do is run toward the beast if we're going to try to follow it to Gertha. I know the path is getting steeper and rockier, but it sounds like the monster is getting further and further away by the minute. I think our best shot is if we get closer and then try to hide behind the trees if we need to. Does anyone else have a better idea?
No, that sounds good to me, Joe.
Rachel replied.
Let's start moving, and then we can figure out the next steps once we get closer. Man, that thing was dumb.
Yeah, it was. I'm surprised the witch has such a stupid minion.
Sienna cut in.
Morgar was at least a little smarter than that.
Who was Morgar?
Rachel asked as she scrunched up her face in confusion.
Something under the sea,
Ariana explained.
I'll tell you more later. Well, should we get going?
My wives and I began to run as quickly as possible as we followed the giant antlered creature up the mountainside. We did our best to stick to the flattest stones and scramble as quickly as we could over the logs that laid across the path, but it was definitely slow going. Luckily, I could tell we were getting closer and closer to the huge beast from its ever louder footsteps. I wasn't sure where it would be headed besides up the path, but I knew we needed to get closer so we could watch it, since I supposed there was the possibility it might veer off in another direction toward its master. My lungs burned, and my heart pounded inside my chest as we moved as quickly as possible. But at least the physical exertion took my mind off the fact we were likely going to have to confront the witch sooner rather than later.
I wish I'd eaten,
Rachel gasped, and I knew it was rough going if even the small golden blonde princess was struggling.
After we kill Gertha, we feast,
Jessamine panted.
That's what we always do after a big victory.
We were definitely getting closer to the creature from the sound of its footsteps. But we needed to stop for a moment where a tree trunk at least as tall as Rachel had fallen across the path. I hoisted each princess up individually before pulling myself over it, and my arms and shoulders started to ache as well as my legs. I wasn't sure if I preferred the creepy fog or the bright sunshine at this point, since the sun was warm on my shoulders and I'd started to sweat. When I rubbed the sweat out of my eyes, they stung, and I wished I had time to stop and take off my jacket. I figured we could do that once we were right on top of the beast, though, and I tried to hold on for the time being.
This is brutal!
Sienna gasped as she tripped over a rock. The path was definitely getting steeper, and it cut off to the side as it began to wind around the huge hill. There was a giant cliff that led down to our right, and I wasn't sure how something as big as the antlered Bigfoot could fit on a trail this tight. Then I heard a wolf singing again, and before I knew it, we were surrounded by a thick patch of fog. It seemed like the woods were going in and out of their most haunted state, and I didn't know if the mysteries of this kingdom would ever be clear to me. The fog was cooler than the sun, but it definitely made it harder to see. The booming footsteps had gotten louder, and soon I caught sight of the animal. The path opened up in front of us a bit, and I could see its huge antlers through the trees not too far away. Okay, I see it, I grunted. We're definitely moving faster than it is at this point, so I think we should make sure we don't get any closer. Luckily, the thunderous footsteps were the loudest thing in the forest right now, because in addition to the wolf, there were plenty of other strange sounds around us. The demonic black birds kept rising in flocks up into the sky, and I supposed we were lucky they weren't swooping down to attack us. Suddenly, Rachel stopped on the trail ahead of me.
Oh, no. I think we're going to have to wait a minute,
she moaned, and when I glanced around her, I could see a huge pack of small spotted animals that looked something like large rats crossing the path. There had to be hundreds of them, and they all flashed huge pointed teeth. They looked like chipmunks from hell, and they each were at least a foot long. Then one of them reared up onto its hind legs and hissed at Rachel, and she startled and bumped into me. When Rachel touched me this time, the sparks in front of my eyes were even brighter than they'd been before, and I sensed a blast of energy flow through my arms and legs and out through the top of my head. I grew almost dizzy from her touch, and I struggled to stay upright on the steep trail. I couldn't believe she wasn't feeling anything given how strong the sensation was for me, and when she steadied herself again, I saw her rub her forehead and look at me with a suspicious expression.
Joe, Did you feel that?
The golden blonde asked as she stared at me. Yeah, I guess you did too. I was actually surprised she was talking to me about what had just happened. Did you feel anything when you touched the princesses before?
Yes, but it wasn't exactly like that,
she explained with a furrowed brow.
It wasn't nearly as strong.
That's the bond between the hero and the princesses,
Jessamine chirped as she tried to catch her breath.
Rachel, I really wish you'd consider...
Oh, look! Those nasty things are gone and the path is clear,
Rachel interrupted.
We need to keep moving now.
I could see the huge rat-like animals climbing up the hill to our left, and I couldn't wait until they were out of sight altogether. One of them even looked back in our direction and spat some kind of disgusting orange liquid at us, and I was glad it wasn't close enough to reach our bodies.
What the fuck were those?
Sienna shuddered.
They weren't the worst things I've seen in this kingdom, but there were just so damn many of them.
Yes, those were terrible,
Ariana grumbled as we began our upward trek again.
I hate these forests, and I hope once we kill Gertha, everything gets back to normal. I can't believe this is what I've had to experience on land.
You were never on land before?
Rachel asked with raised eyebrows as she looked back at the mermaid.
No. Well, I was, but it was absolutely nothing like this,
the redhead explained.
It was more like lying on beaches in the sun.
I hope we get a chance to do more of that once this is all over, I panted. Lying on a beach sounds like heaven right about now, and I wouldn't mind a fruity cocktail in my hand either. Or a hammock.
What's a cocktail?
Rachel asked from her spot behind me on the trail. It's alcohol that actually tastes good, I laughed. Not like wine or ale, but like alcohol mixed with juice.
We can make one of those,
Jessamine confirmed.
It sounds delicious. I can't wait until we get to eat and drink either. It's the best part of our celebrations. Well, almost the best part anyway.
You all are so optimistic, I grunted, and I appreciate it. I'm sure we're going to beat Gertha, but thanks for keeping my spirits up. We'd lost a little bit of time because of the rats, but the monster's booming footsteps were still audible. Contrary to what I would have expected from heading up a mountain, the trees seemed to be getting thicker and thicker. The tall pines bent over our heads into a tall archway, although I could see places where the creature had crashed through. The fog kept rolling in and out too, and I was at least a little bit grateful for the cooler air. Half an hour passed, and I knew we were getting closer to the creature because of the volume of its footsteps, so we needed to come up with a plan to hide when we got close enough to be within its sights. The right side of the path was definitely a no-go with the steep cliff to the side, and we only had a couple of extra feet on the left to the side of the rock face. A thick row of pines grew in front of the rocks, and I hoped that would be enough for us to hide behind. Suddenly, I heard a loud noise from the trail behind me.
Shit!
Sienna screamed, and I heard the sound of someone falling against the rocks. Then I heard stones starting to slide over the edge of the precipice, and when I stopped and turned around, I saw Sienna starting to fall. It seemed like everything was happening in slow motion, and I wanted to tell her to freeze time, but it all happened in an instant, and I felt locked in place. Just as my blonde wife's foot began to stumble off the path, Rachel's hair, which now hung down past her hips, grew several feet longer, shot out, and wrapped itself around Sienna's waist. As my other wives and I watched, Rachel lifted the blonde back onto the path just by using her hair. I hurried back down a couple of feet to grab Sienna's hand, and I gasped with relief once she was back on the path again.
Oh, my God, Rachel! You saved my life!
My blonde wife gasped as she wiped sweat off her forehead.
Oh, I don't know how to thank you!
Damn, Rachel, your hair is fast! I shouted over the thunderous footsteps that were now almost unbearably loud. That was incredible, but let's try to go a little slower. I think we have time to spare, at least a little bit. We walked on for a few minutes, but then the path suddenly got a lot steeper and split off into two directions. Both headed uphill, but they went opposite ways. I looked for the creature's tracks to try and figure out what path to take, but I didn't see anything distinguishing on the ground. I wasn't sure if the animal had a magical way to move without leaving footsteps, but there was nothing there.
Which way?
Rachel shouted.
Left or right?
I'm not sure, I admitted. Do you see any signs of his tracks? The golden blonde surveyed the rocky ground and shook her head.
You'd think we'd see a trail of blood or at least something visual,
Rachel responded with a half shrug.
But I haven't seen a thing. I've mostly been focused on the noise, But can you even tell which direction that's coming from anymore?
That path looks steeper.
Ariana gestured to the one on the right.
I'm not looking forward to it, but if the monster's goal is to make it higher and higher up the mountain, I would pick that one.
You're probably right,
Jessamine agreed.
I don't want to make the climb either, but we have to get somewhere eventually.
Okay, let's try it, I sighed. I don't even know what the worst-case scenario is at this point, other than actually getting eaten. I suppose we can always head back down the hill if we don't get anywhere. So we selected the steeper path to the right, and I hoped we'd chosen the correct direction. The thunderous footsteps were getting louder and louder anyway, and that seemed like a good sign. Suddenly I caught sight of huge antlers and a gigantic furry body on the trail from a couple hundred feet above us.
I think we made the right choice,
Rachel yelled between footsteps.
I finally see it.
Okay, we need to be a little quieter now, I told the princesses. Not that the thing can probably hear us over the sound of its own footsteps, but I guess I'm just getting a little paranoid. The trees were getting sparser now, and the trail was so steep it started to switch back and forth along the side of the mountain. I could clearly see the monster's whole body now as it headed up the hillside. And I wasn't sure what it would do if it turned around and saw us, but I started to wonder if we could disguise ourselves a little better. Jessamine! I shouted over the thundering of the footsteps in front of us. Do you think you could cast an illusion spell for all of us right now?
What do you need me to do, Joe?
My dark-haired wife asked.
There are five of us, which is going to make it a little harder to hold this spell, but I can certainly try.
Invisibility would be my first choice, I suggested. I would say you could just make us really small, but God forbid any strange animals come along and eat us. Not to mention hiking at that size would be impossible.
Invisibility is a difficult one,
Jessamine admitted with a look of doubt in her eyes.
To make five people invisible would be really testing the limits of my powers.
Okay then, what about this? I thought aloud. How fast can you transform us? If the thing turns around and I call out, can you do it instantly?
Almost immediately,
the black-haired princess said with a nod.
I could blend us all into a shrub at the side of the trail, for example.
That sounds perfect, I agreed, and I smiled at Jessamine. Besides, the thing seems so stupid, even if it caught sight of us for a moment and then we disappeared, I don't think it would have any idea what to do.
Good point,
the raven-haired beauty replied with a tired smile. Everyone, did you catch that? I shouted so the princesses could hear me. And Ariana, Sienna, and Rachel all shook their heads. If anyone notices the monster turn around, just yell out and Jessamine is going to disguise us. As if on cue, the beast spun around and I wasn't sure what had happened. There was no way it should have been able to hear us, but it appeared to be looking directly at our party. Jessamine, now! I hissed, and then I saw my dark-haired wife disappear. I tried to look down at myself to see what I'd become, and I realized Jessamine had transformed me into a shrub. I wasn't sure how I was managing to see myself without eyes, but having my senses intact gave me the ability to make sure the huge creature wasn't looking at us anymore. I wondered how long Jessamine could hold the spell. And when I saw the huge antlered monster begin its way up the hill again, I could suddenly feel my arms, and I knew Jessamine couldn't hold it any longer.
I'm afraid it's not going to work if I have to do that a lot,
Jessamine gasped as we all came back into view, and I could tell the demands of hiking were putting a strain on her magic powers. Her golden cheeks were flushed bright red. Huge beads of sweat were rolling down her forehead, and she lifted a hand to try to wipe them away.
I can try to do it. I just really hope we get wherever we're going sooner rather than later. Oh, me too,
Sienna panted.
This is rough, and there's no shade anymore at all.
All of a sudden, I saw something start to crawl out of the bushes to our left. It was more colorful than anything else on the mountain, and I soon realized it was a huge blue and red snake with a diamond pattern on its back. It actually looked like something from the Amazon, and its colors seemed out of place on the rocky hillside. I couldn't tell if it was haunted or not, but I definitely didn't like it. The snake stopped to stare at us, and I grabbed Rachel from behind and held out my other arm for the rest of the princesses to stop moving. I heard someone gasp loudly from behind me, and then the animal slowly began to slither in our direction as its forked tongue shot in and out of its mouth. I wasn't sure if it was venomous or not, but I didn't want the thing anywhere near us.
I got this,
Rachel grunted.
Don't even worry about it.
Long golden strands shot out of her head and began to wrap themselves around the snake. I wasn't sure what she was going to do with the animal at first, and I was fascinated at the thought of her squeezing it to death like her hair was a boa constrictor. Instead of squeezing the snake, though, Rachel's hair flung it back down the mountain. I saw the animal bounce down against the hillside and smash up against a pile of rocks, and I saw a splash of green fluid emerge from its broken body. I didn't think the snake was going to survive, but that was the least of my worries as I continued to watch the massive antler beast make its way up the hill. I wondered where it was leading us, and I hoped Jenny had actually been right when she'd said it was Gertha's minion. I shuddered at the thought of being stuck on the mountaintop at the creature's lair, and I hoped that maybe with Rachel's addition to the party, Jessamine would be able to use the magic carpet again. Then I noticed a cave set into the side of the mountain, and I watched the creature head off the trail, stumble its way across the hillside, and enter the cave. An avalanche of rocks fell down across the entrance, and I wondered if that was its hiding method. Without the sound of its footsteps, the hillside was almost too quiet now. No birds were singing anymore, and although the wind continued to whistle around us, the silence was almost deafening.
"What do we do now?"
Rachel turned to me and asked, and I shrugged my shoulders as I thought. "Well, we're already all the way up here," I replied, and I rubbed the sweat out of my eyes. "I don't see Gertha anywhere yet, and I doubt she'd want to be trapped in that cave with that creature, even if it is her minion. I think she might have a secondary location, probably further up the mountain for more of a strategic advantage. So I suggest we continue to stick to the trail. Jessamine, I was thinking if worse came to worst, we could try to use the magic carpet again. How are you feeling about your flying ability right now?"
"I'm feeling exhausted,"
the dark-haired princess sighed.
"I'm tired in my body and I'm tired in my brain. But then again, things have a way of working out. Rachel, now that you're with us, I think I have a much better chance of being able to use it. If only we could bond up here on the hill. Jessamine?"
Sienna trailed off, but then the blonde started to laugh.
"For once, you might actually be right. The thought is a little disgusting, considering how dirty I feel, but if it would increase our powers..."
"I could clean us all,"
Ariana mused, and before I knew it, my wives and I had all started to crack up. Then I noticed Rachel was staring at us with a horrified expression.
"You can't actually mean..."
the golden blonde said, and from the nervous look in her eyes, I could tell she was worried we were actually serious. She put her hand in her bag to touch Pablo, and I could see her petting him furiously. Her cheeks grew pale despite their flush from all the exercise, and she almost looked like she was going to pass out.
"Rachel, we're joking,"
Sienna assured her.
"I'm sorry. I definitely didn't intend it as a joke at your expense. We would never ask you to do that in such an abrupt fashion. And like I told you, you don't ever have to bond with us if you don't want to. Other than for the good of Fairyland,"
Jessamine huffed, but then she giggled.
"Rachel, I'm so sorry. I hope you know how much I care about you and respect you."
Okay,
the golden blonde sighed, but a small smile passed across her face.
"I just, you know, it's kind of a strange thought right now. I'm not saying never. Wow, did I just say that out loud? But definitely not on this dusty hillside. That's just weird. And besides, what if someone saw us?"
I couldn't believe Rachel had just admitted she might be willing to perform the ritual someday. But I laughed to myself at the thought of how little my wives would care if the whole village was watching us from below. "Rachel, you're fine," I reassured the golden blonde. "I'm sorry you got embarrassed."
"Listen, I really want to change the subject,"
Rachel replied as she averted her gaze and shifted from foot to foot.
"So, if we do get into a big fight with Gertha, how am I going to protect Pablo?"
Jessamine and Ariana looked at each other for a moment, and I could tell they both had the same idea.
"Remember what we did for Jenny?"
Jessamine asked, and Ariana nodded.
"We could make a little enclosure for Pablo like that. If we use a water bubble and the really strong glass Joe invented underwater, he should be totally fine. We can stick him inside one of our packs and no one will ever know he's there."
"Will he be able to breathe?"
Rachel fretted.
"If anything happens to Pablo, I don't know what I would do. I don't know how long regular lizards are supposed to live, but I've had him since I was a little girl, and he means everything to me."
"We all understand what it's like to have a pet you love,"
Ariana reassured her.
"And yes, because of the magic involved, he'll absolutely be able to breathe. Jenny was fine, remember? And we sent my seahorse Callie for miles and miles across the ocean in a bubble like this, and she was completely all right. Please, don't worry."
"Okay,
Rachel sighed, and some of the tension bled out of her shoulders.
I trust you. Should we just do it now, then? I don't know what we're getting into, but I need to make sure he's all right above all else. Other than the four of you, of course.
Thanks, Rachel,
Jessamine said as she flashed the golden-haired princess a warm smile.
We care about you, too. Now, if you want to get Pablo out and hold him in your hands, we can easily create the bubble around him.
All right.
Rachel pulled the small lizard out of the bag and held him in the palms of her hands, and he immediately blended into her skin tone as he curled in on himself. Jessamine and Ariana gripped hands for a moment, and before I could blink, Pablo was totally enclosed in the bulletproof glass-style enclosure I'd come up with in Ariana's kingdom. As I looked through the thick glass, I could see the lizard exploring his new habitat. He sniffed around the interior of the sphere before he seemed to decide it was safe, and then he curled up into a ball at the bottom.
Now, what should we do with him?
Sienna mused.
Should we hide him at the bottom of one of our bags?
I don't know.
Rachel frowned.
I'm afraid if we have to fight Gertha, something might happen to the packs. I've heard she's very tricky. I think I'm just going to stick him back in his own bag, which I keep close to my body at all times.
Well, I hope nothing happens to our packs, I replied. But we've certainly traveled light before. When we went down under the sea, basically all we had was the clothes on our backs and our weapons.
It's true,
Sienna said with a nod.
But Joe, I think the most irreplaceable thing is your plumber's tool set. The tools have been so useful since you've been in Fairyland, at least from time to time.
Yeah, I'd hate to lose those, I admitted. But I could probably have Jessamine make me the tools I needed again if we had to. Anyway, I feel like we need to keep going. We have to get to the top of this mountain and find out whatever that's going to bring us.
And we need the magic carpet, of course,
Jessamine chimed in.
I'm going to stick the cloth into my pocket right now, because it's my most valuable possession.
Great idea, I told my dark-haired wife as she dug through her bag and pulled out the small, colorful cloth. Then I looked up the hill, and I wondered how much longer it would take for us to reach the summit. I thought I could see a spot where it plateaued maybe a mile up ahead, and I could tell why it would be a good spot for Gertha to hang out. When I turned around to look behind me, I could see the whole beautiful kingdom, and I thought the top of the mountain could definitely be a good place for a witch to keep an eye on her domain. The princesses and I continued to hike up the hill, and we all seemed to become lost in our own thoughts for a while. Rachel was right in front of me, and she turned back and smiled through, the sweat running down her cheeks. I wondered what she really thought about the ritual, and I hoped I'd find out sooner rather than later. The golden blonde continued her steady pace, and we all struggled to follow along. I'd never seen the princesses so disheveled, and I thought this might be one situation that even princess magic couldn't fix. We had to have been hiking for miles and miles now, and my feet started to ache. Then I noticed the trail was starting to level out a little, and my stomach dropped when I realized we were almost to the plateau I'd seen earlier. I had no idea what to expect when we got up there, but I knew it had to be an end point of sorts. Either Gertha would be at the top and we'd fight, or we'd have to figure out a way back down to level ground and come up with a different plan.
Here we go,
I heard Sienna mutter, and I knew she was having the same thoughts as I was.
I really hope she's up there, because this hike is getting me pissed off and ready to fight.
You're pissed off? I asked my blonde wife with a grin.
Oh, yes, I'm angry,
Sienna answered as she smiled back.
Joe, you better give me the best royal treatment when we get back to some castle somewhere, someday. I think I should get to put my feet up and drink champagne for days.
That sounds nice to me, too, I laughed. I actually like hiking, but this is pretty rough. It seemed the trail had started to lead us slowly in circles around the peak of the mountain, and I craned my neck upward to see if I could tell if there was actually anything standing on the top of the rocky plateau. The bright sun was glaring in my eyes, and I put my hands on top of them like a visor to get a better view. I thought I might see a shadow, but it could also have been a trick of the light. As we got closer and closer, I could feel my heart starting to beat even harder inside my chest. My already sweaty palms grew even stickier, too, and I wiped them off on my pants and tried to breathe deeply, even though I was so winded.
Okay, I think this is it,
Rachel gulped as she slowed her pace to let me draw abreast of her.
I don't know if I'm right, but I get the feeling something evil is lurking up there. Maybe it's Gertha, maybe it's not, but I think we need to get ready for the worst. Pablo's ready, and so's my hair, so I think I'm good.
The freckled princess giggled and snorted nervously, and I patted her gently on the shoulder. I know I'm ready, I assured her. I don't know Gertha, but I'm sure we've fought worse. After just a few hundred more yards, we were at the top, and I squinted into the light to see what was there, but nothing stood out to me. And then something or someone manifested in front of us. The mountain was completely barren, and then, in the blink of an eye, an image of a person was there. I didn't know what I'd been expecting, but it appeared to be a small, dark-haired woman wearing a long green robe who wasn't much taller than Rachel, if at all. The woman had her back turned toward us, but then she laughed in a throaty voice.
I've been expecting you, hero,
she said without turning around. I didn't know exactly what we were in for, but I supposed it was time to fight.